Class is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay. And well, hi everybody, and welcome to the webinar, which is a change of pace from the from what we did before. As a result of what we did before, for the first 45 minutes of Tuya's meditation, I'm putting in an order with my solar angel for the fifth ray in my next incarnation. And also eight arms, or maybe even four would do, but you know, eight or four arms and the fifth ray would be useful. Now our discussion today, we're going to go into many different aspects of the new group of world servers. First of all, you know, there's been a tendency. Oh gosh, I just want to have I welcomed you all? Well, I'll tell you what, there are 35 of us here, or 37. And my hope is that even though the streaming on the previous program was not what it might have been, I hope that I was able to get a video recording of it. And if not, Tuya and I will do it again, although she doesn't know that yet. So perhaps I'm in for a surprise. Let us see. Okay, test, test. Right. Why do we call this the new group of world servers? And why not just the world serving group, or the planetary server, or something of that nature? And I would like to make a little statement about what is new and what is old on this planet. If you are part of Earth humanity, you came to this planet, according to the Tibetans' teaching, either 21 million years ago, or 18 and a half million years ago, or about 12 million years ago. Those were three those were three different waves. Early Earth humanity, Middle Earth humanity, and the Atlantean group, which we're probably not going to find here very much, because it takes a certain amount of time to pass through the experiences that are required to want to even study these kinds of things. So let's just say that by and large, the students of these materials came from the moon chain altogether, which was an earlier aspect. Now, I suspect that I've done this before, you know, but I'm going to hope for the best here. These are some of Tuya's diagrams. And let's see, what do we have here? I might be able to. Yes, okay. This is it. You see this third chain in what we call our Earth scheme. This third chain is now called the Saturn chain, and it has been completely revamped. The moon chain is basically dead, and Saturn, with its powerful third ray, and if you know the glyph of the moon, you know, of course I love writing in the air, but you know, the glyph of Saturn includes the moon and the cross. And the cross of matter is over the crescent of consciousness. Well, in any case, there was a big development in what in the chain of concentrated life that preceded this this particular Saturn chain. And when the moon chain failed, and I think a lot of us may have been involved in that failure, you never know. It was a long time ago, really. billions of years ago, but on the inner planes, time is not what we normally measure it at here. So we transferred to the Earth chain and eventually to the Earth globe, where we are at this time. And you will find that among the new group of world servers and among the more advanced thinkers in the esoteric field, you will have a lot of people coming from the moon chain. Now, it's not exclusively that, because there are even earlier human beings. Let's put it like this. You have to have a certain number of your petals open in order really to participate in these activities. Now, that's no great kudo to us. We've probably taken an awfully long time getting here. And I suspect that what is involved is a much more rapid state of evolution for the more recent Earth humanity. DK hints at that, and he says, look, they're coming in unburdened by the kind of karma that you are carrying. Do you realize what that means? And then you have to pause and try to realize what that means. Well, obviously, they haven't gotten in as much trouble. And so they're going to go faster. But the earliest of the human beings now, and among them, many advanced people, came from the previous solar system, which came under the third ray of intelligence, just the way our particular major solar system is coming in under the second ray of love and wisdom. So basically what I'm saying here is, you see that there are 12 petals to your Temple of Solomon, as it were, on the higher mental plane, and we have to open a certain number of those petals before we're really going to be interested in these kinds of esoteric matters. He says, occultism is not yet for the average individual, but the people such as we are have to turn our study of occultism into service, and that's where the new group of world servers comes in, into service for the average personally centered, non-aspiring individual. So, you know, we're here to help, just the way the hierarchy that has a lot of them have a lot of experience in the previous solar system are here to help us, among other things, and to advance the welfare of the planet. Now, sometimes it might seem that humanity doesn't really know where it's going, and, well, at least hierarchy seems to know, and that is fairly true, because the Ajna Center of Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World, the projection of the planetary logos into our globe, has not yet entirely awakened. And the higher types of human beings are found in that beam of light and that power of the unicorn that we call the Ajna Center. So right now, the Ajna Center, which is guiding people upon their way, is forming with the higher types of human beings who are interested not only in the outer world and making it better, but in the esoteric causes of the difficulties in the outer world. So we have a very big task before us. It's going to take thousands of years. We recognize that the Master Jesus, he started out as a general. I mean, he was a military figure, and as DK says, the sweet and meek image of Jesus is completely erroneous. This is a commander, okay, on the sixth ray, and probably a lot of the first ray going in there as well. So as Joshua, who was the companion of Moses, and Moses was Master Moria, we're talking about 4,000 years ago, something like that. And Philip Lindsay, he's an excellent historian in these matters. He thinks it might have been even, you know, considerably longer ago than that. Sometimes the biblical history is very, very compressed. So let's just say that Jesus underwent, after this sort of conquering incarnation, we don't really know whether he did what he should have done. It caused a lot of trouble. He went into the incarnation of a Jeshua, who was the priest in the temple. And then he went into the incarnation later of Joshua, the high priest. And there he took the third initiation. And finally, he's born as, well, you know, do you want to call him Jeshua or Jesus or whatever, taking the crucifixion initiation in cooperation with the Lord Maitreya, who is taking the sixth initiation. Okay, so it can take a while. And for people like us, you know, we may not be as outstanding as some of these figures were, but that's 4,000 years before they're reaching this very great high point of Chohanship. You know what a Chohan is, right? A Chohan is an initiate of the sixth degree and is getting ready to take a very long journey to out of the solar system altogether eventually. So what do we have ahead of us? Lots of work with the new group of world servers. Why is it new? Because humanity's age is very old. For in the previous solar system, dedicated to intelligence, there was not such a group. On the moon chain, as far as we know, there was not such a group. We're talking billions and even, well, chronology can really get you here, you know. Blavatsky tells us that the chronology she gives in the Secret Doctrine is accurate. It's the Brahmanical chronology, and it involves trillions of years. Now just imagine that. Every little solar system is lasting, at least ours are lasting, in the neighborhood of 311 trillion 40 billion years. Now that's just one solar system on the upper levels as well, because, you know, look, on the outer level, things will disappear much faster. And maybe the scientists are getting a hold of that idea. It disappears faster. But on the subjective levels, it lasts a long time. So we don't know how long every solar system lasts, but it is the new group of world servers when you look at humanity's evolution. Now, you know, it was formed in 1925, 1930s. 1935 was a big year. 1936 was a big year. This festival week of the new group of world servers is every 7 years. And if I have my arithmetic straight, it's going to be 42, 49, 56, 63, 70, 77, 84, 91, 98, 2005, 2012, which we had here last year, 7 years ago rather. People were actually sitting here just like you are, you know, 7 years ago. And you notice they're not back. But anyway, you don't let that bother you. And then up to the year 2019, and here we are. So the era of the forerunner, when from 1965 to 2025 is the 60-year period when the hierarchy and the new group of world servers has to get a lot done for the sake of the returning hierarchy. This is the last festival week of the world servers that is going to occur within the era of the forerunner. Now, maybe you all think of yourselves as forerunners, you know what I mean? People who are like John the Baptist shouting in the wilderness, you know, the Lord Maitreya is coming, the Christ is coming, and nobody listens. And then, you know, because you've done such a good job, they cut off your head. You know, it's kind of like the work of the esotericist. The reward lies at the end. Anyway, I kind of wonder sometimes what it's going to mean for the group, because humanity is not especially interested to hear this point of view. There are some that are awakening to hear it. Okay, great. And there are many others who are frozen in their concrete-minded interpretation of what is reality, and then they get their astral body fixated on that concrete thought, and that's it. You got to break that up somehow, and they don't always appreciate it when you do that. But that's one of our roles, okay? That's one of our roles. Now, let me, I'm looking for things. Like I say, I really admire the way those Hindu artists painted their gods with many arms, because you really need them, you know, to get the job done. I was here till 6 o'clock in the morning trying to get the job done, and I only thought I should turn myself into the prison for unregenerate fifth-rate types. And that was my conclusion. Then I came out here this morning and tried again, and the blank reception of the world who tuned in is the result of my efforts. However, now perhaps we have something just a little better. Okay. All right. Now, what we're looking at here, we have to put together hierarchy and humanity. It's obvious. The triangle between Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity is on its way. And there are different, maybe I can show you this. Trouble is, once I start expanding on things, I become almost like Elena. There's just no way to stop the process, you know. All right. So let me just go to this triangles thing, show you what I mean. Okay, and it's called, Science of Triangles? Science of Triangles Program. And, okay, and maybe it's not. Zodiacal Triangles, and I have so much here, I'll have to try this F here, and let's see, it's called, I'll just put triangles, and see if I can get to it. Well, just when I want to get to it, I can't. But anyway, the point is, different relationships exist between Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity. Now, would you believe, what's going on right now is that Shambhala is trying to reach humanity. So the will of Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World, you know, there's beautiful names for this great being. He's related to the solar logos. I've got 41 names for him somewhere here. And they're just, you know, the Lord of Venusian Love. And that's one of my favorites. And the Ancient of Days and the Eternal Youth, you know, the beautiful names. He comprises in himself all of those capabilities. So anyway, Shambhala is making a big impact on humanity. But hierarchy is only reaching out towards true and complete identification with Shambhala. Hierarchy is not there yet. That's so interesting. Now, when we get to the future, and I love that term future because, okay, when is it, you know? You've got the arrow going in both directions, between all of them, between Shambhala, humanity, humanity, hierarchy, hierarchy, Shambhala, and they're perfectly even, and they are perfectly equilibrized. That's not yet. But for some of the people who are thinking in terms of what is the divine will, okay, then we can begin to think about Shambhala. We're not going to walk in the front door of Shambhala and ask Sanat what we can have for breakfast. I know someone who actually does that, and nothing I say seems to be able to convince this individual that this just might be in the realm of illusion. Okay, you know. So you know, the whole idea of familiarity with Shambhala means you have to be an initiate of the fifth degree on the first ray, or a sixth degree initiate, and then the doors will open. But nevertheless, the divine purpose is making an impact. Ever since 1825, you know, it's been since Atlantis that it made its last impact. 1825. Then the year, a whole lot went on in 1875 and 1925. And then when was the next one? 1975? I think so. 1975, and then the year 2000. And we're still under the pressure of that incredible impact from the year 2000. And look, along with that are a lot of shambolic events. For instance, the Sanat Kumara gathers for all of the initiates who are taking the sixth initiation. That means they're going to go far away into the cosmos. Okay. And he says, where would you like to go? Okay, you know. All right. So they tell him, he records their choice, a totally free choice. Then he says, well, you know, things are tough here on Earth. I hope you'll stay for a while. And they do. So they stay much longer than they otherwise would stay. And they make what's called the Great Decision, 1903, right? Okay, 1903 decision. It brought in Einstein, atomic energy, and all the rest of that, right? It brought in the tremendous release of atomic energy. 1952, it brought in the telecommunications system in which we luxuriate at this time because, look how we're talking to each other. That is, if you don't have me as a technician, anything is possible. Okay, then the next one is 2001, the great decision of the initiates. How many are there? Are there 49 or are there more? I'm not sure. There's a lot of these Chohans that are ready to go on their trip. Under Libra, they make a choice. Under Sagittarius, they're outward bound. Astrology applies to every one of those initiations. And it's very interesting to see how that takes place. Anyway, 2001, we're in it right now. And look at the possible war in the field of religion. Okay, DK says, if there is a war, and there better not be, it will involve Shambhala for the first time, and it will be in the field of religion. Okay, so we have a lot of internal work to do to make sure that that does not, does not happen. Let's see what else is here. Okay, put hierarchy and humanity together. I just want to say a few words about the Christ and the Buddha. The Buddha did not wander through the woods looking for enlightenment. He had already been for 2,500 years the head of the hierarchy. By that time, you're a fifth degree initiate, and you don't need that. But he overshadowed one of his disciples, the Prince Siddhartha, or whatever you want to call him, Gautama, you know, Siddhartha. The Christ did not grow up and was not born in a manger, you know, in Bethlehem and all the rest of it. That was the initiate Jesus of the third degree. And the Christ at the baptism, well, there had been communications before that. The Christ was teaching him. The Lord Maitreya, who is pushing the sixth degree, just the way the Buddha was pushing the sixth degree, trained their disciples. It only makes sense, you know, because the head of the hierarchy doesn't wander through the woods asking, how do I find enlightenment? Come on. So, you know, we've got to realize what's hidden beneath the statements here. Okay, then the Buddha, extremely mental monad. In other words, you know my theory, or maybe you don't, but I think that every individual has two monadic rays, okay? And I'll try to illustrate that here. There it is. There are seven shambolic centers on the monadic plane, one for each ray. And there are three superior centers on the logoic plane. Now, the major monadic rays are found up here on the logoic plane, and anybody can be a monad of any type here on the monadic plane. All I want to say is the Buddha was extremely intelligent, but so wise that I think that if we look on the logoic plane, we will find that his monad is not just the third ray monad, the acute energy of active intelligence. Is that it? The acute energy of something like that. The acute energy of active intelligence. But this incredible wisdom, the Lord of wisdom and the Lord of light. And I think he belongs in the indigo triangle on the logoic level. Now, the Christ, there's no question about it in my mind. He's Ray 2. He's a very, very excellent example of what Ray 2 is. You know, love and wisdom together, and especially love. So everyone, I think, has two of these higher rays, and if you come to the conference, we'll probably repeat ad nauseum some of these theories. We've been doing it now for a couple of years, and, you know, I think it's very interesting, because if you go looking for your higher rays, where do you look, and how do you look, see? You know, what are you thinking about when you're looking for a ray beyond the soul ray? Well, let's put it like this. The new group of world servers responds to its soul ray, okay? These are people who really have gone that far. Usually, they are initiates of the second degree. Many of them are, but sometimes he uses the term loosely about the new group of world servers. And if you are a steadfast man or woman of goodwill who is always serving your fellow human beings the best you can, he considers you a member, even if you're between the first and the second initiation. So the world servers have their day now. They are like a substitute, an intermediary between the Christ or Lord Maitreya and between the Buddha. And see, the Buddha had a very high initiation on the cosmic mental plane. Now, you know, who knows? Master DK, he's a humble kind of, you know, master. And he says, well, what's on the cosmic astral plane? He says, I don't know. I haven't been there. So he's, you know, he's clear about that, okay? So he hasn't been there yet. But at the eighth initiation, which is way beyond, you know, the Lord Christ is just taking the second, seventh, and so is the Buddha. But the figure eight loop up to the cosmic astral plane and loop down to the logoic, up and down, and up and down. So you can visit the cosmic astral plane, but you're not yet anchored there. And then when you take the last initiation that Master DK tells us about, or, you know, explicitly, it's called the initiation of refusal. It's gonna, that you won't go back to the cosmic physical plane unless for ardent service purposes. So let's just say there are all these servers on the cosmic physical plane, and the new group of world servers, you know, really a reflection of these Nirmanakayas and these high people returning. Nah, I shouldn't call them people. These high souls returning from training. Where do they go? They go to different constellations for training. I mean, if you stop to think about what lies ahead of you, it's incredible, you know, and it's a lot more interesting than a fatuous, concrete-minded heaven, and you're probably not that good a harpist anyway, you know. Everybody has their own harp, their own cloud, and you know what I mean. It's very, very limited, but not this one. This is not limited. This is huge, okay? So the Buddha took this cosmic mental initiation when he changed to the sixth degree. And then he gave his role to the Lord Maitreya. He was no longer the Buddha in that sense. He took on a different function and he went into Shambhala. That's what we're told. The Christ took his great initiation, overshadowing the Master Jesus, when Jesus took the crucifixion. And the Christ took the sixth initiation on the cosmic astral plane. So there they are, the two brothers. One is Mercury, one is Venus, you know, allegorically anyway. And they are delivering to humanity the virtues of Mercury and Venus. And the new group of world servers is picking that up. Now think of it, the new group of world servers, you know, look, I don't know where I'm going here. I'm just following a stream of consciousness as I look at you. Okay. Now, here we go. Look at the sign Taurus. That is a fourth ray sign at this time. Taurus has the ruler Venus. And Taurus is said to be particularly connected with the planet Mercury. So what is it? There's some kind of permutations around the word Buddha and Bud and Mercury and wisdom. They all mean basically the same thing. So the Buddha came from Mercury. He came as a monad from the planet Mercury. The Christ, the Lord Maitreya, it's much more likely that he is a Venusian type of monad. And yet they are the two brothers. And as far as the servers go, like we try to be, the Christ and the Buddha, they function together like two brothers. Now take a look at Gemini. I know some of you, you know, are into astrology and some are getting into it and you have to get into it one day. Here's Gemini. What are the rulers of Gemini? First, Mercury, right? Then comes Venus, and then the Earth. It's an excellent triangle to bring enlightenment to the Earth. Okay, and without that, we wouldn't have had individualization and all that. That's what the servers are doing. For through this Ajna Center and some other things going on there, they distribute these high Mercurian, Venusian energies to humanity so that they can begin to live above the planet, what would you say? They can begin to live above the planet. It's a non-sacred planet, so what could it be? It could be Mars, couldn't it? Mars is a non-sacred planet and the school for warriors or something, and it rules the whole personality. And it rules the concrete mind, and it rules the astral body, and it rules the dense physical body. That's what Mars does. You don't want to live there anymore. You want to use it but you don't want to live there anymore, right? So here come the servers with their beam of light coming out of their forehead, as it were, and in reflection of the beam of light, which they are to the Lord of the world, Sanat Kumara, and shines that beam on humanity. In other words, if you're a member of the servers, like the Christ and the Buddha, you are a light bearer and you are a love bearer. And before you know it, and it may take a little while, you're going to be a will bearer, wheelbarrow. You're going to be the will to good. You are going to carry the will to good as the third part of your offering to humanity. Now, I would say that everybody in this room either is or has the potential to be a member of the new group of world servers, which is another step beyond simply being a man or woman of goodwill. It's good to be a man or woman of goodwill, but it's a little inconsistent, you know? The servers have really bitten the, like a horse does, you know, and are going with it, going forward with it, and they cannot be stopped. So now, you know, and you know how it is with Taurus and the bull. The higher type of the bull has this incredible persistence, right? Okay. So that's what we're celebrating now. We're living at a time when the Black Lodge, the Lords of Form, the Lords of Obstruction, the Lords of Interference, you know, all that. There are 12 of them, actually, that are the leaders. You don't want to meet them, says DK. Don't think about them too much, because not only is it profitless, but it's dangerous. Okay, anyway, but yet he gives a lot of info, okay? So they are attacking now. It's just obvious. Look at this demagoguery. Look at people settling down into their lower energies and just deflecting all the good stuff. You know, it's happening in the U.S. It's happening in England. I guess it's happening. I mean, UK. It's happening all around. Okay, why? Why those two groups of states and countries? Because they are the second race soul, and the Christ has yet to decide where his headquarters will be when he returns. And you can pretty well guess that wherever he sets up his headquarters, which he will, maybe in another 100 years, a little beyond, it will be in a second reign nation. That's my guess anyway. That's my present hypothesis, okay? So the United Nations is there in Geneva. It's London is a great second-ray center in one way. It's a first-ray center in another way. But let's just say that the United Kingdom, second-ray, America, second-ray, Geneva, second-ray, probably the Christ, if things can be cleared, will set up his headquarters there. So to be a member of the new group of world servers is a huge responsibility. It, once you commit yourself, you don't want to be like one of those ones in the Bible that, you know, you put your hand to the plow and you turn back. Because when you do that, it is very ugly things that happen. I've seen it, you know, people just get lost, they get absolutely lost, and their karma becomes very heavy, and it takes a long time to get back and get a grip on that plow, you know. There's a lot of work involved. Okay, now I'm going to just open. Look, I'm just freewheeling here, okay? I've got a lot of text that is written out, but we don't necessarily have to follow the text, namely because I can't find it. Okay, so... are there any, I have no idea whether you're going to be heard or not. I'm going to kind of repeat what your question might be or your statement might be. Does anybody want to say anything? And if anybody wants to say anything of the attendees, of which we have 43 attendees. And Michael, Stacy, and I are on the staff side of things. So I want to give you a chance to ask any questions or propose any thoughts that may have come to you as I'm rambling along here. And I will try to, so don't go too fast if it's a little lengthier, because I want to make sure that everybody hears. And last night it was working perfectly, but you know, in the 2 hours I was asleep, something happened. So I came in here in the morning, and I'm glad you were eating breakfast, because I was having a meltdown, you know, and maybe some of that's left around the desk, I don't know. Anyway, we'll do our best with it, and I'll talk to our computer guy tonight, and he has a lot of fifth ray. Okay. Now, any thoughts or questions about the two great bodhisattvas who have intuition of bodhi, the light of bodhi, in a harmonious condition in their consciousness? That's what a bodhisattva is. You know how it goes. You start out being an inert lump, right? It's tamas. Then you go into hyperactivity. It's called rajas. And then finally you settle down into a rhythm, which is called sattva, and it's much more refined, and it's able to handle with skill in action many, many things. You know how the well-developed Libra person can, you know, not get so ruffled and handle many things in a harmonious manner? The Buddhic plane, here's the Buddhic plane, our little Buddhic plane, here it is, down here, is the plane of harmony. Not only harmony, but love, wisdom. Not only love, wisdom, but pure reason. It's the plane of all those things. Now, of course, you know, it wasn't really fair. I'm talking just in English, but my Finnish is much worse. So without Tuya here, there would not be a translation, and Risto has left. Okay, but later there will be translation. Do you have any thoughts or questions you would like to put forward? And the same goes with anybody who's in our attendees group. You know, I see some familiar faces, and you know, 43 of you, and I won't read your names out, but it's really nice to see you, and hopefully you're getting this one rather than the okay. And hi, now we can translate into Vietnamese, everything is good. And is here. But no finish yet. It's coming. It's coming. Okay. Do you have anything you would like to say first here in this in the temple group? Anything you want to ask, or any comment you want to make, or am I talking too fast? I always do. Or what? Anything of interest to you? Or is everything of interest to you, so it's just impossible to say what is the next thing? I'm going to fasten my beady eyes on someone and provoke a response. It's that invisible person sitting between Leia and Joanne. Anyway, you get the idea. The two great exemplars, the Christ and the Buddha, are like the brothers, and they are like the two hemispheres of the brain, and they are like love and wisdom together, and they are the inspirers of the new group of world servers, which presumably we are becoming members of. You know, it's not such an easy thing. And it's, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a member of the new group. Yeah, I helped someone across the street the other day. Right. You know, This is a steady, consistent attitude in which the laws of the soul, the first five laws, I'll take you that far, are expressed. The next law. When I think of the next two laws, I cough. Okay.
Can you speak a little bit about what we're moving towards in 2025?
Can I speak a little bit about what we're moving towards in 2025? I have to repeat because I have this funny feeling that, well, you see all these microphones. I do know something about them. They go somewhere. And I'm going to be investigating their destination tonight. That's my that's my task. It's going to be another one of the little all-nighters. Look, we have the cycle of the second ray that we are interested in last 500 years. Okay, cycle of the first ray, 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, you know, and same for the seventh ray. 7, 70, 700, 7,000. Those are all seventh ray cycles. But the others, no. The others don't match up exactly. The second ray cycle is 500 years or 5,000 or, you know, there's a place in cosmic fire where it gives you some of these ray cycles. He doesn't tell you what they are, but they're there, you know. He gives you 2,500 years. I think he gives you 5,000 years. Matter of fact, you know, let's just see. I just want to see if I can find that thing, because it's a good place to go to become a little bit awestruck. Doesn't hurt to be awestruck, you know. It induces study and other things like that. Okay, how many times, well, is it possible that there's nothing? I know there is. Okay, hold on. There are no current hits for this. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get rid of this, and then I'm going to put, I'll bet there's a comma. Yes. See how grammar can hang you up in your life? Okay. So this may take us to the place, don't know. Here's 2,500 years. And that's kind of like a fourth ray cycle. And 5,000 years is a second ray cycle. 350 or 3,500 years is a fifth ray cycle. Wait a second. No, 900 or 9,000 years is a third ray cycle. 350, 3,500, 350,000. That is a fifth ray cycle. 150, 1,500, 15,000, that is a sixth ray cycle. Would you like to have all knowledge? Well, you know, you already have it, but, you know, the trouble is all knowledge with respect to what context? That's the issue. The context can be your planet. It can be your solar system. It's doable. And the masters are headed in that direction, but we cannot talk about yet universal knowledge, can we? Not quite. In other words, all the knowledge in the universe, which I hope to explain in my series that is called Identification as Being. I hope to explain that even if you think you have all universal knowledge, you don't. It's just an infinitesimal. You know the difference between an infinitesimal and infinity? There's a big stretch, right? So in other words, any definite thing you can compress down into a negligibility. I shouldn't get off into this stuff. But anyway, all knowledge in the universe is a drop in the bucket compared with infinite knowledge, which can never occur in a universe. A universe is a confined, periodical, repeating thing. That's what it is. Okay, so, you know, let's just say when Alice Bailey was working with the Tibetan. Ah, see? Some people paid attention to commas. See, look at that. I mean, there's a bunch of figures that are given here, and it's very, very interesting, the longer cycles. Are you ready for the long haul? How long have you been hauling? How long have you been hauling? Okay, I propose that you've been hauling forever with an occasional rest in between, where you return to being your true identity. Meanwhile, here we are down here in this tiny little encapsulation, and we're all stuck, and we have to help each other out of it, through it. And that's what the new group of World Service is really doing. I wonder, how many of you have read Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2? Have you read that? Because I'll tell you what, read that, because it's a great book on psychology. Some of you, of course, have been in the course, so you've read a lot of it. But the first five laws of the soul, you know what they are? Can anyone rattle them off? Come on, someone's got to rattle here. First five laws of the soul. Elena? Wait, but I want them in order.
Oh.
You have to inquire the way. That's a very important series. It's a very important statement in White Magic about four activities. They are not specifically the laws. Okay, let me rattle for you, okay? The law of sacrifice, or the law of those who choose to die. The law of magnetic impulse, number two, or the law of polar union. It's a Libra law. The law of service, or the law of water and the fishes. It's number three. You got them. And then number four, the law of repulse. And I forget what else it's called. Something nice. It's the first ray. It scatters everything, and then you regather it in a new way. And the fifth law, the law of group progress, and the law of elevation is the esoteric name. Now, if you can live, and all members of the new group of world servers eventually aspire to live according to those laws of the soul, then okay, then you're really solidly in that kind of work. Now, look, not everybody's going to be an esotericist. But this is the science, the spiritual science of the future, the science of initiation, spiritual science. And look, do you think there's a lot of fifth ray coming in the Aquarian age? A lot, isn't there? Why is that? Why should that be? Yeah, of course it is, and there's inquiring the way again. See what I mean? But let's just say that every, I'm going to ask, you know, ask you to memorize a lot of things, but only if you come back. Okay. So here is, I know what I want to do. I want to go to esoteric astrology. It might be nice to become an esoteric astrologer one day. And there it is. So, the right above, and we're studying this in the science of triangles, every ray has three constellations through which it works. Take a look at the fifth ray. It works through Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. And Leo is fading out now. Leo is no longer the main constellation for the fifth ray. Aquarius is. So, during the age of Aquarius, we're going to be loaded with this fifth ray approach. A truly scientific age, but I dare say that science and art will be blended. And the Buddhic plane and mind will be blended. The four and the five will be blended. So, you know, how many of you know this chart by memory? I'm not kidding. Okay. I know one who knows it, and then I've made sure my wife knows it, and she knows it, with occasional hesitation, such as we all have. And then it's not only the chart, it's which one of the three constellations is most potent now, at this time. Now, do you find that's too much to memorize? I would say the right answer is no. There's a lot of fifth ray detail that you need in order to be a true esotericist along the DK line. Anyway, in his line is, I love these words, meticulous entirety. So just look those words up in his book, meticulous entirety, and you'll see how to study with Master DK. Now look, the new group of world servers, they are in all the seven ashrams, and some of them could care less about this stuff. They serve in different ways, and we're going to have some ashramic meditations. You know, they may serve through government or some kind of teaching or some kind of financial approach. We really need that, don't we? They may serve in peacemaking and artistry. They may serve in science. They may serve in the field of inspiration. They may serve by organizing you. Now, some of us really resist that.
Michael?
I heard you breathe, Michael.
Yes, it's time for the noontime reflection.
Would you like to lead that, Michael?
No.
Michael's letting me know it's time for the noontime reflection. That's when you have gabitis and you forget what time it is, you know. Okay, so here we go. Let's say that, everybody, you know. And, of course, you know, the very seventh-ray personality, Arcane School and Lucis Trust, was rigid about these. Whatever you were doing, you dropped it at noon. When the meditation bell rang at 9, you dropped it. When it rang at 5, you dropped it. You don't say, no, one more paragraph, I feel inspired. No, you went into the meditation room. Okay. So some of you know this, and I think I do too. And if not, well, I apologize ahead of time. Okay. We know, O Lord of life and love, about the need. Touch our hearts anew with love, that we too may love and give. Oh. Thanks, Michael. Good reminder. Okay, I just want to see if there's anybody in the group of attendees that would like to say something. There's not a lot of time because I'm trying to stick to the schedule and I talk too much. So here, if you have any question, I would repeat it for the group here. The other day we had it working so that you could talk directly to them and they to you. But somehow when the computer man left, all the magic left too, and we're not at that point. So is there anything that you want to say or anything you want to say or ask among the attendees? You would.
I am seeing no hands raised and no questions posted.
Okay. Oh, that was close. Whew. All right. Now, just get in mind, we have two great teachers on the earth at this time. They have achieved what no earthly teacher has achieved until this point. They have taken cosmic initiations while still in the body. The Christ and the Buddha. And when you study the Alice Bailey works, you realize how evenly divided the approach to the Lord Maitreya and the Lord Buddha are. In other words, there's no favoritism, see? And one takes care of the light and wisdom, and the other takes care of the love and wisdom, both. And to be a true server, of course, every time I talk about it, I say, well, am I a true server, really a true server? But you have to love. Excuse me, you have to love. And you have to have conquered the lowest level of illusion, which is found on the concrete mental plane. Okay, you have to have conquered that. And how do you do that? And every member of the new group of world servers should know at least the method. You build the rainbow bridge. You build the antikarana. You know, in Tuya's diagrams here, they're very good for the more the authentic colors. And Keith Bailey did a lot of work in this area too, and created the original colored versions of these things. You see the triangular antikarana, it means the inner organ. At first, you just try to contact the soul. Later, you have a specific means of projecting light into the abstract areas of consciousness. And here's another one which is not much talked about, but if you're really within the soul and you are no longer trapped in concretion, but much more expansive and inclusive, then you can think your way into the abstract mind. Maybe it's the Ray 3 method, you know, and more the antikarana straight up is more a, of course, there's no up or down here, okay, but it's all vibrational, is a Ray 1 method. And the normal method when you go to the Arcane School and you start to work with them, for me now it's already 50. Whoa. It's almost 50 years since I started to work with the Arcane School and went there, you know, as part of the staff. The normal method you're taught is you use love and wisdom to enter the domain of the soul. Okay? But really all three, I really like one. And that triangle does get, you know, compressed into a line. And all three blend together. It happens in Sagittarius, a great sign of alignment. Okay, so we're over time just a little bit. And now I just want to say to everybody who is attending, on the net, it's mostly webinars today, except for something that's going on at night here, if I can just find it. Let's see here. Yeah. So a broadcast does not give you the opportunity to speak, not yet anyway. A webinar, you can have some back and forth, especially when the electronics works the way I've heard it working before. After lunch here, Elena will be talking about some astrology that's very relevant to the new group of world servers. Then there's this discussion about how we can strengthen the new group of world servers. Always in the Arcane School meditation reports, the very last sentence is sort of, do you recognize anybody who's working with the new group of world servers? How do you strengthen their hands? Strengthen the hands of the new group of world servers, because the hands, in a way, are the organs of helpfulness. They should be. And then, so we'll talk about that. And after dinner, we'll talk a little bit about the founding of the group of new group of world servers, because, you know, it's a very big thing. If you think about it, a long time ago, well, a century seems a long time ago to us, a lot of souls changed position. Now, you know what that change was, right? What it was? Their location. Some of you, I know you know what it is. Anybody who doesn't know want to speak? That's always the best way, I find. All of the soul groups used to be on the higher mental plane. That all changed. Some remained, others went ahead to the Buddhic level, and still others went ahead on the first ray to the Atmic level of spiritual will. It was a big year, 1925, for reasons that are probably not related to the Roaring Twenties. So, as recently as that, not quite 100 years, the big change occurred. And, you know, that means our soul shifted position and perceived otherwise than it normally did. Right? Okay. And you were involved in that and have been involved in everything. And, you know, when you take a look at your involvement, it's just amazing. And finally, there's nothing that you haven't been involved in. But philosophically, I'll explain that in another context. And some of you already know it experientially. So after, now let's see. So what happens at night here? I just want to make sure that I know what's happening at night. Okay. And then there's going to be a webinar coming out of New York. And we'll tune in on that somehow. And, you know, because the 2025 group and the Arcane School Lucis Trust are doing a lot of things to make this Festival Week really important. And then, not everybody, is there anybody here that's a member of the Moria Federation? Anybody? There's a few of you that are members of the faculty and some of the students. Yeah, right. So anyway, we have our yearly meditation. I call it inaugural. This is the 12th inaugural meditation about the new esoteric schools, and that's going to take place at a late hour. Here it's going to be 11:20. That'll be the last thing we do today. So Arcane School students will be there. Well, maybe they will. Who knows? But Moria Federation students and faculty and administration will be there for that meditation. That is, so basically, it's mostly webinars today, either from New York or from us. Okay? Are there any final questions or complaints? Okay? Whoop, it's time. Have I ever been known to run on? Oh, you know, I told you, haven't I, that there's, you know, these 12-step programs, you know, like Al-Anon and Narcanon and, I don't know, Boozanon and all that. I've told you about this, I know. That there has to be a 12-step program for children of Gemini parents who are trying to recover from the experience of having Gemini parents. And it's called Ananon. Okay, Ananon. Okay. All right, everybody. So now we have a little break. And we come back here with Elena. What time is it, Elena? Listen, we all need more time. You know how it is when you're being lowered into the grave. One more webinar. One more seminar. One more book. Well, maybe all of us here are going to be burnt anyway, aren't we? Or are we? Or are you willing to sign something that commits you to being burnt at the end of it all? That'll wake you up, won't it? Okay. All righty. Thank you for attending this almost silent webinar, except for old Gabitis here. And now lunch. Friends, thank you for being here. And look, you're going to, as we go along, you'll feel free to say things and ask questions. And you can do that in the webinar format. And by tonight, in my sort of pledged all-nighter here, I will contact the computer man who knows a lot more than I do. Okay, lunchtime. Bye-bye. Enjoy yourself. To you?
Yeah. So now you are going to go to Nepalese.
What?
You are going to go to Nepalese.
I am?
So there Lance is in Nepalese. So
you better talk to me about that.
I have been talking to you about 1 month ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh, I feel
yesterday,
a crisis is approaching.
So is it so that you cannot go?
Well, I shouldn't go. But
because I cannot go. Yeah.
And there's no lunch?
No, not today. So Nepal is easy. We have one car. So can you fit any people in your car? So we could have two. How many we are here? It's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Michael, do you want all this as part of the webinar?
Okay, we are.
No, it's coming off now.
Here so then I think we would.
It is just the human side, Michael.
You can have.
Here we go. I'm canceling this out now.